Bibles and turn to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the priorities of a godly life this afternoon. And on Wednesday night, you need to be here again. And we're going to talk about a consecrated life on Wednesday night. And the idea, or the reason, again, is we need to prepare our hearts and have our hearts prepared for, always prepared really, for what the Lord would have for us. But as we lead into our missions conference, our hearts need to be ready for the Lord to speak. And I said it this morning, you know, we can preach and teach on missions until we're blue in the face, and we can know the doctrine, but if our heart is not ready, our heart is not right, our heart is not prepared, if our heart isn't in the right place, it's not going to do any good. Everything starts in the heart. And we're going to look this afternoon at the priorities of a godly life, because really the priorities of a godly life, first of all, start in the heart. And that is the theme, the key for us. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1. And we're going to look at really the whole chapter. We won't read all of it right now. But if we begin in verse 1, down through verse 9, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." You see the theme or the thought in these verses, in some of the words that are used. You get the idea of what should be the priority of a person's life. If you notice there, Solomon said to his son, first of all, incline your ear into wisdom. Then secondly, apply your heart to understanding. Then he says, cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice for understanding. Seek it as silver. Search for it as for hid treasure. What do you kind of get the idea here, don't you, of what the priority is? What the main focus ought to be. And that's the direction we're going this afternoon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding here, and Father, and teach and encourage and instruct our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that each one would be honest with themselves, with the Lord, and do some real evaluation, heart examination, lining things up with the plumb line of God's Word. And Father, I pray that you'd see in each of your people a surrenderedness and a yieldedness to the Word of God and to the will of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In today's world, modern philosophy and so on, there's a lot of self-help type material that's out there that a person can read, and the idea is, you know, to draw out the best you that you can possibly be, right? And there's all kinds of ways to do that. And modern philosophy, we're told, really, that if you want something bad enough, all you got to do is just set your mind to it, and you can go and accomplish that. In some ways, that is true. The human capacity to accomplish things is tremendous, and it's given by God. You remember in Genesis chapter 6, at the Tower of Babel, and how all the people were one, and they had their mind to build this tower toward heaven. And what did God say? the people as one, and now nothing shall be, it was going to basically stop them from what they've imagined to do. I mean, the capacity is pretty tremendous. And in some ways, really, if you, you know, what you do set your mind to, you know, you can accomplish that goal. And God created the human intellect and the mind with an incredible potential to get things done. But what is, but that can be a bad thing, or it could be a good thing. And what determines whether or not it produces a good thing or produces a bad thing is often the priority of the heart. You know, the direction and the focus of the heart is what makes the difference so often, because we can set our mind to do something and it's going to produce nothing but bad in the end. It might produce a whole lot of quote value in this temporal life, but what is it going to produce in the end of, at the end of life? You understand what I mean by this? What we set our mind to, we can often accomplish, but the key is having the right kind of priority in setting our mind to something. What man sets his mind on, what he makes his most important priority in life, well, that's going to make all the difference in the end and in eternity. But what a powerful force priority is. And we're going to talk about the priorities of a godly life. What should our priorities actually be in this life? Well, we find a few things in Proverbs chapter 2 that sort of give us the direction of what our priorities ought to be. First of all, what do we find in verses 3 through 5? We find that spiritual goals should have the highest priorities of life. Spiritual goals should be the highest priority in life, not physical or temporal. In verse 3, Solomon says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Having God's wisdom, having God's understanding, is really and should be the priority, the highest priority of life. Spiritual goals, having the highest priority of life. Most people are pursuing something. That might be not totally true with the millennial generation. Some of them aren't pursuing anything other than mooching. But generally speaking, most people are pursuing something. And we find in the Scriptures that the one who seeks divine wisdom, the one who seeks the divine knowledge of God and who seeks after understanding of the things of God as the highest priority in life will find those things. Solomon said, you search for it, you seek after it, you cry after knowledge, you cry after wisdom, you cry after the spiritual things, you search for the spiritual things, and then verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When it comes to goals and pursuits of things, and when it comes to your life, we need to maybe ask ourselves some important questions. And I'm going to ask you this afternoon, in all honesty, do some heart evaluation. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. Let's not just play church. Let's not just go about the routine. Don't fall asleep. Let's do some honest evaluation here. When it comes to self-examination, when it comes to examining my life, we know from the Scriptures that the spiritual goals should have the highest priority in life. But the question is, do they? Do they really? It's easy to say words, isn't it? Especially when you're in a good Baptist church and you know the doctrine and you know the lingo. It's easy to say words. But let's do some heart evaluation. Amen? Ask yourself this question first of all. What kind of success is most important to me? All right? Everybody thinking? All right? Everybody paying attention? I want to see the glazed eyes. Ask yourself this question. What kind of success is most important to me? Is it financial success? I want to succeed. I want to be comfortable in this life, and I'm working hard and doing all that I can to set myself up and have this comfort level that I think is going to make me happy. Is it personal? I've got goals, a bucket list of things to do. Or is the kind of success that I really, really want, is it spiritual? What is the most important kind of success to me? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, what is most important to us is going to be revealed in how we live, not in what we say. It's going to be revealed in our action, what we put the most energy and effort into is going to show what is the most important thing to us. Is it important to you to have a relationship with God? To have a close relationship with God? How much effort do you put into your walk with God? How much time and energy do you give to your relationship to God? We can have all kinds of goals, but spiritual goals ought to be the most important goals in our life. What kind of success is the most important to me is the first question. Well, that's going to be revealed in how we live and how much effort and energy we give to something. A second question you should ask yourself is, if I could realize only one great ambition, what would it be? I'm telling you, folks, I had to sit and think about this, and I had to ponder this and be honest with myself too on this very question. In all honesty, before God, if I could realize one great ambition, what would it actually be? We might know the right words to say. We might know the right answer to give based on our knowledge. But what's really in the heart? This is why I'm asking you. Be honest this afternoon with yourself and with God. If I could realize one great ambition, what actually would it be? Would it be something spiritual that is honoring to God? Something that glorifies God? Or is it something temporal or physical? You know what? I have a great desire in my heart that my children grow up to love God and serve God. Number one, that they all be saved. Number two, that they all serve God with their life. Hey, that's a great answer to give, isn't it? What does that mean, though? You understand what I'm saying? What does that require? What does it mean? Well, if that's really a great ambition, it's going to show in how I live, in the time that I pray for my children, my commitment to teaching them the truth of God, my commitment to living an example for them to follow. That's just one of many, many things that could be said. But you need to ask yourself the question. I'm talking about the priority of a godly life. Spiritual goals ought to be the highest priority. If I could realize just one great ambition, what actually would it be? Here's another question that might be kind of telling revealing. And we're not the ones who really get to who decide this. It would be, I suppose, in the minds of others. But the question is this: if I died today, what will have revealed itself to be the most valuable thing to me? And when I say it's maybe not us who gets to decide that, it's in the minds of others. See, the fact is other people see us and know us and watch us, and people know our lives. And if I died right now, what will have revealed itself to be the most valuable thing to me? Again, that is determined by what my life has been prior to this moment. If you died, friend, let's just look back and examine the life. What will have showed itself to be the thing that is the most valuable to you? It'll be what you've put the most effort into, what you've put the most, what you've given your mind and your heart to. And it's not about saying a bunch of words, oh, I love Jesus, oh, I want to serve God. It's not about the words. It's about our actions and about how we've lived our life. Solomon says to his son, wisdom and understanding and the spiritual should be sought after as though it were silver, as though it were hid treasure. You see the value here that's being placed on it, the importance of it? I'm searching after it. The spiritual is what needs to be pursued after and sought after as a precious treasure. Hey, there's all kinds of things that can gain, that can distract or can grab our attention. But you know what the old saying is, you always make time for what's most important, right? We always make time for the thing that's the most important to us. Well, I just can't serve God. I can't go and do this or participate in this because this is the only time I have to do other things. Well, maybe that's true sometimes. But what about a pattern of life? That's the key. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what we gain here is that the spiritual goals really should have the highest priority, not the temporal, not the things that we think are going to please us. A second principle found even here is that godly living, it's really a state of being, not a state of doing. Understand what I mean by that? This is a heart issue. Now, godly living, it's a state of being, not a state of doing. If you look in some of these verses here, verse 2 says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, skip to verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Look at verse 7. God is the one. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. It's almost as if these verses are saying, look, if you so invest yourself into these things, if you invest yourself into finding the knowledge of God and crying after wisdom and searching for it and so on, if you invest yourself this way, you will become this kind of a person. You know, people can try to do good things. They can try to do what is, quote, right, and so on. But if it's not something that's already in the heart in the first place, it's never going to last. You with me? What are we seeking after? Just doing the right things? Or should we be seeking after the spiritual and seeking after the things, the things that God says here are the valuable things, and in so doing, then those will make us or help us become the kind of that kind of a person. Even if you try to do good things, you're not truly going to receive the knowledge of God without being yielded to Him first. And being yielded to His divine principles with our will, with our heart. We've got lots of commands in Scriptures, lots of doing right that we're commanded to do. But if it's not in the heart first, it can never be maintained. For example, look at Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read for you Proverbs 1:7. You turn to Romans chapter 12. Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fear the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's a heart issue right there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That starts in the heart. Romans 12, which all of you probably know. Romans 12, 1 and verse 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, this is a heart issue right here. To present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Hey, that's a heart issue. It starts in the heart first. Having the right mindset, the right surrender, the right yieldedness to God and His will and His principles. That's a heart issue first and foremost. You're never going to really present your body a living sacrifice to be completely used up if the heart isn't right first. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 3. Here's instruction on how we ought to treat each other. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Guess what? This is a hard issue too. First and foremost, hey, we're to treat each other with respect, and we're to esteem other better than ourselves, and we're not to be selfish and look on our own ish, on our own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's a heart issue first and foremost. There's instruction on doing right, but how is that ever maintained if it's not in the heart? You understand what I'm saying here? These are certainly instructions on what we ought to do, present our body, and so on, and to how we ought to treat each other, but they start in the heart first and foremost. And the point is, it's not actions alone, but attitudes that's going to produce the right kind of action. Godly living is actually a state of being, not a state of doing. When the heart is right, first, other things will naturally follow. It's the heart that determines who we are. Really are. And you can do all the right things. Dot the I's, cross the T's. We can do all the right things. We can even do just as the pastor says. But if the attitude of the heart isn't right, it's never going to last. And there's no real yieldedness to God. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. In verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, this is what Jesus said about the Pharisees over in Matthew chapter 15. They had I's dotted and all the T's crossed. They were doing all of the right things, quote, doing the right things, but their heart wasn't right. And Jesus said, "This people draws nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And by their traditions and all the things they were doing, they made the commandment of God of none effect." It wasn't about what they were doing, it was about the issue of the heart. And we're talking about the priorities of a godly life, godly living. and doing and serving. It's not about the action alone, but it's about the heart first and foremost. Because if the heart isn't right, it's never going to last. We can preach missions all we want. And we can lay out the responsibility of a New Testament church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can talk about those who are next door who need the Lord. We can talk about the mission field, and we can talk about our missionary, and we can do all of the things that are our right to do, but if it's not in the heart, it's never going to last. It's a heart issue. All too often, priorities of a godly life, it's got to be spiritual first. All too often, it's the physical and the temporal that dominates a person's life. How do I know? Just look in the way that they live. We can say we love Jesus all we want, but it's not about the words, and then it's not even really about the actions as much as it is in the heart. If the heart is right first, the rest will naturally follow. We have a great responsibility as a New Testament church. I said it this morning, though. We can know that, and we can apply it in that corporate sense, but somehow remove ourselves from that responsibility. Are we doing the job as a church? Well, we're trying the best we can by the grace of God to be obedient to the command God has given. But what about you? Brother Humphrey mentioned it this morning about you ought to be preparing yourself and preparing your own heart. If God should call, if God should lead, if you got to be preparing yourself to be a leader and take to fill the void and to fill in the gaps and so on. But listen, that is a personal thing that cannot and will not happen if it's not in the heart first. Amen. Godly living is a state of being that stems from the right heart rather than a state of doing. And we see another principle here in Proverbs 2. Go back there, the last principle. I'm trying to encourage you folks today to examine your own heart, and I've talked a lot about preparing our hearts for the missions conference. And it's not just about the missions conference, but it's the next thing that we have, and it's an opportunity for the Lord to speak to us. So I'm not just talking about this just for one specific thing. This is a general application for how we ought to live our life. But if we aren't willing to do some heart examination, if we're not willing to be honest with ourselves, it really doesn't matter what we say or what the emphasis or the focus is, because it starts in the heart. And I told you already, this is a two-pronged approach here. We preach and teach on missions and what our responsibility is, but the other side of that coin is the personal side that starts in your own heart. The other principle that we find here in Proverbs chapter 2 is that divine principles really do work in the lives of those who will yield to God. Divine principles really do work if we'll yield to God. Verse 10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." So what was the first part? Hey, search after wisdom. Search after knowledge. It needs to be the highest priority, the spiritual thing. And if you do that, verse 5 says, you will find the knowledge of God. But then you get to verse 10 and he says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, what's going to happen? Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. What do we find? When wisdom has entered in, you've sought after it, you've applied it, you've searched for it for hid treasure, You find the knowledge of God when wisdom has finally entered into your life. Something's going to happen. Discretion is going to preserve thee. Understanding is going to keep thee. What's it going to do? It's going to deliver thee from the way of evil men. You skip down to verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Skip down to verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. What's going to happen when wisdom enters into the heart and knowledge is pleasant to the soul? Well, it's going to deliver you from the wrong paths of life, number one. Verse 12 said, to deliver thee from the evil way, or from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh forward things. It's going to deliver you from the wrong path of life. It's going to deliver you from the wrong type of relationships. Verse 16 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattery with her words. But it's also going to lead into the paths of righteousness. Verse 20 says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. What I'm saying is that divine principles actually do work when people are yielded in their lives to the will of God. Realizing the value of the spiritual and pursuing after the spiritual rather than the vanity of the temporal, that's where blessing is found. That's where joy and usefulness and contentment is found. It brings about realizing the value of the spiritual and pursuing after it is what brings surrender. It brings selflessness. It brings real service to our God. It brings about a life that God can direct and God can use and God can bless. Only God can call a man to preach, right? Not a pastor, not a mama, not a daddy. But the only way to hear the call of God to preach is if the heart is in the right place first. That's the only way a person's really going to respond. If the spiritual is the priority and it's the focus, and my heart is focused on the spiritual, not the temporal, that's what's going to bring about a life that God can direct, that God can use, and that God can ultimately bless. See, the best things in life, they only come about from God, not what we can do for ourselves. Things that we pursue after that we think are going to make us happy. And so many times the reason that people feel frustrated, maybe they don't feel fulfilled in life, maybe they don't have any joy, is because they don't even see how selfish their life has become. Only serving self. It's my time. I don't have time to go down to the church to serve God. My time's all taken up with other things. Only self-serving. Spiritual blessing that brings real peace with God, true joy, a sense of fulfillment. Listen, divine guidance in decision-making in life. Man, this is I want to just stop and think about this and chase a rabbit here, as Brother Humphrey likes to do. Do you even know what that's like, child of God, church member? To have real divine guidance in making decisions. Didn't God promise that he would direct our steps? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Is that a promise from God? Did he promise to do that? Do you know what that means? Do you know what it feels like? Have you experienced that in your life? To have real divine guidance in decision making? Or do we just make decisions really based on how we feel, and we say, oh, the Lord led me. I really, really want that. Oh, God just provided. Must have been God's will. The Lord opened that door. Or not even really acknowledging God. But just have it in the heart. Lord, I want to make the right choice because I want your will in my life. All I want to do is to please you. And I want you to direct my steps. Lord, give me your wisdom so I can make the right choice here. I'm not going to rush off and make this decision. I'm not going to go do this. I'm going to consider, Lord, do you even want me to do that? Even want me to go here? Because the spiritual is the priority of my life. You understand what I mean? Well, it wasn't that long. Let me just give you a personal illustration here. You're not supposed to use personal illustrations when you're preaching. That was what you're taught in Bible college. Because it reveals who you really are. It wasn't that long ago. It was Easter time, actually. I really wanted to go fishing. And we had the plans, and we were all set up, and, you know, I was even going to preach in a different church. See, I was going to be in church. It was all going to be good. But you know what? Something didn't really sit right with me about it. But I kind of just, we'll just put that off to the side here for a little while. And it didn't really sit right with me about it, but I really wanted to do it. And there was somebody else in the church who just said, "You're going to be gone for Easter?" Kind of a big deal. And it was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. This is exactly the reason why it didn't sit right with me. The Lord wants me here. And I had to go back and I had to reevaluate. Am I making a decision based on what I really want? Or am I even really asking the Lord, is this what you want? Would you allow me to do this? And it was very clear. The Lord wanted me right here. And the Lord worked all that out anyway. But it's a yielded and a surrendered heart that seeks after the Lord, that says, I want your will in my life. Give me your direction to make the right decisions. And actually have your life directed and guided by the will of God and the principles of God. Do you know what that really means and feels like? All too often, life is just simply controlled by how we feel or the desires of our flesh, and it's not really surrendered and yielded to God. You know, we make that application when it comes to missions. Only God can call a person to preach. But you're never going to hear God calling if the heart isn't right in the first place. If the spiritual is not the priority of life. Maybe God's not calling to preach. But you're a member of this church and you have this responsibility. It's going to be real easy to isolate myself and say, well, the church corporately, it has the responsibility to preach the gospel and exempt myself. We got Great Commission Day right around the corner. Are you going to be here? Serve the Lord? Hey, you know what? We can be pushed into doing things. It's not about the actions, though. It's not about the actions. It's about the attitudes and the heart being right that is going to naturally then produce the right kind of action. Are you with me here? What's the priority of life? Spiritual blessing that brings real peace, joy, divine guidance, and decision-making. All that only comes from the Lord. What's the key? Divine principles, they really do work when a life is yielded to God. Look at Psalm 103 and I'll be finished. Psalm 103. verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in it within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Here the psalmist is saying, he's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's remembering and recalling all that God has done for him. He says, in not forgetting, in verse 2, all of his benefits. He talks about the forgiveness that God brings into the life, the healing that God brings, the redeeming of thy life from destruction, guiding his path, the crowning of with loving kindness, satisfying his life with good things. He's talking about all of these things, but how in the world do all of those things happen? How can they happen? Well, they do happen, and they can when a person in a life is truly yielded to God. The principle is yielding, learning to surrender and yield our will to God. That is a heart issue first and foremost. And when it is, then God can take us and He can start to direct us and He can start to use us to bring glory to Himself. Then all of the things that we talk about and preach about concerning missions and soul winning and all of those, then all of those things are going to be an outpouring and an outflowing of a heart that is surrendered and yielded to God. We need to understand that the things that we need most, life's most valuable commodities, they're not physical, they're spiritual. And those blessings and those most valuable things only come from yielding our will to the Lord. Examine your heart. What is the most valuable to you? What's the most important thing to you? Is it spiritual? Or is it physical? Is it temporal? If you died today, what will have revealed itself to be the thing that's been the most valuable? What effort and commitment have you given that proves what's the most valuable to you? It's a hard issue. It's a two-pronged thing. One side of the coin, we have a job to do. But the other side of the coin is, what's the heart like? You can do a whole bunch of stuff. You can be involved in a whole bunch of things. But if it's not in the heart, it's never going to last. Amen. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about a consecrated life. And consider what that word consecration means. And consider how God feels about it. And see exactly what our life should be to the Lord. All right? You come again Wednesday. Don't miss it. And all the while, do some heart examination. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd help us to just think, just ponder, be honest in our evaluations, be humble, maybe with the conclusions. And Father, there are areas of our life that aren't really truly surrendered. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to see it, admit it, and then make it right. Confess it as sin, yield it to the Lord. Father, that the spiritual would be the highest priority of our lives. And when the heart is right, all of the actions, well, they're empowered by the Lord, they're maintained in the life, not because we just have zeal for doing, but because it comes from a heart that's truly yielded to God. And Lord, I pray as we approach our missions conference, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared and ready for you to speak. They would be open and surrendered and yielded, so that when you do speak, Father, we're ready to act and obey. Bless your people. Grow us in the Lord, that you might be glorified from this church. In Jesus' name, amen.